Well, good morning. I love the surface level part of this sermon, or the surface level part of the scripture, to get into the richness that we hear. We initially start out with this comparison of us being sheep and Christ being the shepherd, and then we follow this amazing shepherd. This one that leads us in life, and we go where he asks us to go. When we are lost, he knows the sound of our voice to remind us that we have strayed along this path and it's time to return back. Don't you like that image? He knows the sound of our voice. Now I know sometimes my voice can sound somewhat grating. And so I say, thank you, Jesus, for never turning your back on me and still hearing and inviting me to come back to that place that I am to go. You know, when Christ speaks to us, I love it that he does not simply say, hey, you, but simply, your name, my name, come back. Our response is to hear him and to recognize that voice and to follow where he leads. You know, all of this depends on the shepherd who speaks. And Christ is no silent shepherd. He calls out to each one of us as a member of his flock in a distinct and personal way. He calls each of us by name, by what Herbert O'Driscoll describes as the most powerful of all sounds in our ears, our names. Our names. When we hear our names, we hear an intimacy established, a familiarity that pulls us out of the sea of faces. This Christ calls to us, in our own space. At times we may want to be someone other than ourselves. We may live different lives and mistakes. But Jesus only wants us to be the person we are made to be. The one who has redeemed calls to us and calls us each by name. He doesn't want us to fly under the radar with a simple, hey you, because we could do something like this. He said, hey you. He sure didn't mean me, so I can just keep going along my way, do what I want to do, and have fun. But when he says, Joe MacDonald, he may even throw the Keith in the middle of it, and says, come follow me. There's a difference. For I can't ignore it. I have to hear it and respond accordingly. For I have given my life to this shepherd of shepherds, to this one who calls us. So it is necessary that we listen. Listen for the sound of his voice. Now, listening in our time is a lot harder than it sounds. Amen? You really don't mean that, do you? Listening is action. Listening passively is not what I'm talking about here. But keeping yourself engaged. Being aware of what is being said. You know, I sometimes get the feeling, and I have to admit this up close and personal. Here I am delivering a message, and I look at some faces, not yours, of course, and I look at some faces, and I think they're dreaming about the trip to Argentina they just took, or something like that. And I feel like saying, hey, listen, there's something going on here. Ask any counselor, psychiatrist, or pastor who has just spent hours listening to troubled people, and you'll find that listening demands a great deal of energy. Or recall sometime, I hope you have had the experience when you have felt truly heard. The person listening may have been a spouse, a parent, a teacher, friend, or someone whose profession requires a willingness to listen. To be truly heard by another person is something rich and all too rare. A great consolation. It requires much of the listener and gives something real to the person who is heard. So the art of listening is not easy. Yet it's the foundation of discipleship, actually. Like all true listening, listening to the shepherd comes at a cost. But while listening to other people may sometimes drain us, it is our gift to them. Listening to the shepherd always leads to our enrichment. The shepherd has nothing to gain, while we have everything to gain. Yet still, this listening is not easy. Why is it so hard to listen to the shepherd's voice? Because true listening leaves us open to be touched and changed by the truth we hear. That's risky business, and I'm not talking the movie. So often the truth, if we hear it, overturns our prejudices, changes our self-image, shakes up our view of the world. Most of us are at least a little uneasy about having our boat rocked. Listening is also hard because much of our society is arranged to keep us from hearing deep truths. Many people are paid to make noise so that we do not hear the true music. We may even become so accustomed to noise that we forget that there is true music. Something else that makes listening hard is that what we hear is usually a blend or the voice of the shepherd mixed with lesser voices. St. Paul puts it this way, the treasure comes to us in clay pots. We need to distinguish the one from the other and not confuse the pot with the treasure. Yes, listening is hard. It takes practice. But the saving grace is the shepherd never ceases to call us. There is no shortage of messages that come from him. And each one of us hear it by our own names. There is no situation where he does not speak. You know, I'm going to tell you now, if you ever get the chance to do this, and probably some of you have, I remember going to Santa Fe and going to the big Catholic church in the square, the cathedral. And right by it, there is a labyrinth. And I decided one day I was going to walk that labyrinth. But the problem is, as I walked the labyrinth, it is not in one of the best places to focus on God. For it is in the square, and you hear the traffic, you hear the noise of the people, and so it is a struggle to hear God in the presence of all that lesser stuff. But if you really hear and actively listen, God can still speak to you in the middle of all of that noise. Have you ever been in a place in your life where you feel like so much is going on that it is impossible to hear God through all the noise in your life? The noise of addiction, the noise of abuse, the noise of something else going wrong, the noise of failure or perceived failure. And all of these things speak so loudly into your head that to hear God's voice is next to impossible. This text reminds us that Jesus is still there speaking to you. Simply listen as hard as you can. Hear that voice. Let it soothe you and speak to you and call you back so that that voice drowns out the others. And this is hard. If it were that easy, everyone would be living life just fine. But it's not. And it's up to us to do it. And it's also up to us to teach people once we have experienced it. The next thing that this text reminds us of, that we must be trained. We must be trained to share this story of God. Where does the training come from? From staying in the Word, from getting involved in a group that can talk together and share. Being in a study, doing all of these things to better equip ourselves. This is how we learn and grow. And this process is not something that happens once and we're done. Boy, wouldn't that be nice. Boom, there's your ticket. Hallelujah. You've seen Jesus. You've experienced it. Your life is free. Go and sin no more. Woohoo! We're done. At least that doesn't happen in my life. It is a constant commitment to faith and to life, a constant reminder that my God loves me enough to call me from the deepest recesses of wherever I am to say, Joe, come back. Ultimately, this is what love looks like. That no matter how far we may go, Jesus calls us back. How amazing is that? That the Father's love for us is so radically hospitable that he demonstrates his love by never letting us go. Where can I run from your love? If I fly to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed on the other side of the sea, surely your hand will be with me. Nowhere can we run from God's love. We have, and I love this, God forbid we ever be one. We have churches that love to tell you who is in and who is out. We have churches that love to tell you that if you do not follow our rules, please don't come back. Take your consolation prize at the door. This scripture busts that wide open and reminds us we can really mess up our lives. We can really go out these doors and we can do some things that are not too pleasant. But God, in God's time, reminds us that we are his. I don't mind being a sheep. They're stinky, but they're always warm unless they're shaved. Because I know the Father that calls me his own will never let me wander off by myself in pastures to risk whatever. My Father will call me back to be with him and to feast at the heavenly banquet. Praise be to God that the Father's love for us demonstrates itself with radical and abiding joy and hope, and shows us what love looks like. For it is in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Bring honor and glory to you, O Father. Amen.